Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Dana Brown, Assistant Director of Administration, and Steve Colo, Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Secret Service. One of the toughest challenges facing many employers is recruiting and retaining new employees. Does Secret Service have this problem?
Well, I can talk about it, especially on the IT side, because that's a major issue that is not just unique to the Secret Service, but the government in general, because you're competing for very technical skills against a private sector that has the capability of paying more. Although I can say that the government actually has done a pretty good job of improving the pay issues. There is now a lot of pilot programs out there, such as pay banding, where especially IT professionals, they can eliminate the static step increases, and it's actually a pay for performance, where a person who really improves his skills can be paid more than maybe someone who would be normally at the same grade level. The government is also more willing to give out retention bonuses. In fact, the Secret Service has done that on a number of occasions to keep those people that have the skills that we need when it appears that they are leaving or maybe actually have had job offers. And there's some other type of pilots that we have been using, telecommuting, flexi work schedules. Right in our IT shop, I just started the pilot. I wanted to try some people who are going to work at home, who probably, especially with maybe programmers or people who are do not have to be at the workplace, can spend some time at home. And obviously, you're saving funds when it comes to travel costs and parking. And I also have someone at a GSA sanctioned location, and I put another person at another Secret Service location just to test these type of programs to see how they would work. And also, even on the agent population, especially when it comes to technical skills, it's very competitive out there. We are, as you've heard, very interested in computer crimes, and to get those people coming out of college with those type of skills, the best thing I can say is, fortunately, we have a very unique mission, and that is that draws a lot of people, so we're fortunate.
Just say a couple of things. One is that we've been very sensitive over the last several years to the quality of life issues, work-life issues. For our agent personnel, we recognize that they were working excessive numbers of overtime hours. With the cooperation of the Department of the Treasury, was instituted a study called the Workforce Retention Workload Balancing Study, which has provided us the opportunity over the last couple of years to hire additional personnel to address that issue, to bring those hours of overtime down. Also, I don't want to neglect the fact that we have the Uniform Division, the Secret Service as well. And the contribution of the Secret Service is unique and exceptional. They also have some very serious quality of work-life issues. We just completed a study on January the 19th with the department again, identifying their issues, one of which, again, was the number of hours worked, having to take the lack of days off, being forced overtime hours, things like that. So we're also looking to try to improve their stature by increasing their positions. And both of those really have an impact on recruiting and retention. It's very difficult to get people to come places where they're going to have to work forever and get very little opportunity to have a break, those type of things as well. But also, because of the FERS program, it's much more competitive than it used to be. Agents and officers now are probably less inclined to stay for the retirement purposes and benefits than they might have been in the past, because they're pretty much general as opposed to unique to this particular agency. So we're looking at those issues. Also, from support personnel in general, I think we're finding that we need to take a different approach to retaining and recruiting them than we have in the past, certainly in the technical field that Steve has mentioned, but also just generally. We're looking at different ways to try to make the Secret Service unique, make it a better place, and do that uniformly throughout for agents, uniform division officers, and support staff as well.
What advice would you give to a young person interested in a career in the Secret Service?
Well, we give these type of speeches all the time, going to college campuses, and once again, fortunately, we have a really interesting mission and a very diverse career when you can move back and forth between protection and investigation. And I I feel that the government certainly pays fairly well, and money isn't what it cracked up to be. And I feel that, surprisingly, that the people that we get in today are as qualified, if not much more qualified, than the people that came on the job with Dana and I. Yeah. We're talking about, we're probably lucky that we don't have to apply right now. We probably wouldn't make the job.
I was going to ask, what type of skills would you be looking for?
Pretty much, I think, as Steve has indicated, in some areas, certainly having some technical skills is an attribute. Since we do financial crimes, having some accounting or business background sometimes is an attribute. Having foreign language skills can be. We do have and have increased significantly the number of overseas positions that we now have. Generally speaking, though, I think just a well-balanced background, some previous job experience, not necessarily law enforcement experience, that might lend itself to assisting the Secret Service in either its protective or investigative capabilities. We are and have put a lot of emphasis, as I said earlier, on being well-rounded. And I think that that plus your willingness to work significant hours and be dedicated to the job is probably the singular most important purpose.
One of the things I've heard in our conversation is the forming of partnerships by the Secret Service with other agencies of the government, perhaps, and even amongst colleagues. How do you partner so effectively, and what are the lessons learned?
Well, we're going to be forced throughout the government to partner more and more as time goes on. And I'll just once again use the area of information technology. You know, our mission is indeed unique, but our business process is not. What we do when it comes to financial management, when it comes to procurement, when it comes to the administrative process, is the same thing that other government agencies do. And in the past, we in government agencies have looked very myopically at what we do, and we have built these stove, you know, pipe systems. And to save money, we're going to now have to go and partner with other agencies and say, okay, we're not going to build the system and you build the system. We're going to build one system, and it's going to be enterprise-wide. And in fact, you build the system, we'll fund the money to you, and we'll give the input as to how it would best be worked. So partnerships are very important. We have some very good partnerships with ATF and throughout Treasury. And also we are doing very good with partnerships actually internally. For example, Dan and I work very closely as the CIO and CFO. In fact, I'll let him talk a little bit about that.
What we did, took a look at how we've done business in the past, and we looked to try to change that dramatically, particularly in terms of our financial management processes. From a particularly financial management perspective, in the past, perhaps our financial management didn't have this kind of influence in being able to participate in the process they might otherwise have had. We were trying to change this from being a bookkeeping situation to be more of a management consultant situation. Steve and his colleagues had an excellent idea in setting up a technology council to review what they wanted to do in terms of IT. When we reviewed it, we actually saw some opportunities for us within financial management area to cooperate with them and change the tenor of the council to a technology and investment management council. What we have done then is incorporated, as I mentioned earlier, all the assistant director's offices into a cooperative effort to review everything that comes up, both of an IT and non-IT nature. We bring it before the council. It gets considered. We've adopted a business case perspective for everything. We're looking to use the information technology investment portfolio system. We're looking at decision-making software. We're trying to make what has been historically a very subjective process into a much more objective one. And I think that'll benefit us all over time. The principal issue is to generate a methodology or protocol that will be consistent over time, be defensible, so that we bring forward initiatives to the department or to OMB or to wherever, that we can defend them with some not only anecdotal information, which we're very good at it, but also now some empirical data, which perhaps in the past we haven't been quite as capable in terms of producing. So we're trying to do both, and working with Steve and his people has been outstanding.
I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank you both for being with us tonight. Thank you, Dana.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, thank you, Paul.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dana Brown, Assistant Director of Administration, and Steve Cole, Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Secret Service. To learn more about our programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. See you next week.